Hello, everyone, and welcome to Science Unscripted. It's Connor here.
And Gabe.
And we have some coronavirus news for you. The first one addresses an issue that's been bothering a lot of people out there. It's the heart inflammation that has happened in very rare cases, mostly with men after receiving an mRNA vaccine, and which is treatable. I'll say that again right at the top here. It is treatable at this point, so it is not something where you have to worry about having a potentially fatal side effect. But still, the question is, why? What?
Inflammation of the heart.
Yeah. How could that happen? Why would that happen? And some new research out of Hong Kong appears to possibly shed light on why that's happening. And what they did there is they looked at mice. They looked at three different groups of mice, and they're trying to figure out if one possible mechanism behind that inflammation is that the injection site for us people, for us humans, in our shoulder area, they tend to jab that in, and that is an intramuscular injection. And one suspicion was that maybe it's accidentally, once in a while, intravenous, meaning the injection goes...
So meaning that the vaccine gets further than the arm?
Yeah, well, it
gets into the veins?
Gets into the vein instead, into your bloodstream, and as you can imagine...
Travels all the way to the heart.
Yeah, follows your veins, follows your bloodstream to your heart, causing some inflammation there. To test this, the researchers in Hong Kong, they took three groups of mice. One of those mice, they gave a BioNTech injection right into the tail. That sounded like it kind of hurt, and right into a vein that was in that mouse's tail. For the other group, they took one of the thigh muscles and injected it right there. So that was the intramuscular, just like with us.
Mm-hmm. No veins present there.
No veins. And then for a third group, which was a control group, they just used a saline solution. And what they found out was that when they did this intravenously, when they did it injected into the rats, when they injected into the mice's tails, wait, mice is plural. Yeah, when they injected into the mice's tails, that there, after about a day or two, in about 38% of the mice, Gabe, I'll hand you a picture here, they saw something that looked like that middle image. I don't know if you can make sense of it. It's kind of graphic in nature.
This looks like a burrito.
It's a mouse.
With a glob of ketchup.
So what you're looking at there is the what's called a necropsy, like an autopsy, but for an animal that's been involved.
Okay, so they've ripped the insides out, and there's a gigantic red blob.
Yeah, the gigantic
that has turned white.
Exactly, that is the heart.
And that's myocarditis.
That's what it looks like.
In 37% of the mice who were given the IV.
Yes.
Intravenous injection.
That is what.
So
it
okay,
looks
so when
like.
The vaccine gets to the heart of this mice. So when the vaccine gets to the heart of these mice, that's what happens?
That is what happens. And again, that seems to kind of confirm some of the suspicions that researchers had that this might be one of the reasons for myocarditis or pericarditis. Heart inflammation
In the extremely rare situations where this has happened in human beings, it means that probably some of the vaccine got into the veins?
It means it's possible that that's... the mechanism through which this myocarditis...
If we are like mice.
If we are like mice.
Okay.
Now, some of the limitations of this study, very, very small sample size. I kept looking through the data to try to figure out exactly how many animals were involved. Anywhere from, 10 to 15 mice in that first batch of experiments, it looked like. Again, I had a tough time figuring out exactly how many animals they had in there. And then when they did a second shot, a booster shot, that number dropped even further. And that can significantly alter these percentages. So take these percentages with a grain of salt, 38%. It may be more, it may be less. But again, this is sort of an investigative study to try to figure out, is this possibly why this is happening? Now, if you're wondering why this is possible, or is there any way, if this were true, could we stop that from happening? Because nobody wants heart inflammation. There is a trick called aspirating the needle. This was new to me. And this is the idea that you put the needle into the arm.
Yeah.
And then instead of pushing the plunger and pushing that medicine in, you slightly pull the plunger. And if blood comes into that needle, then you see that you've hit something like a vein. You've accessed the bloodstream. That would be an indication, oops, this is not where I should inject. At that point, you'd take that syringe and throw it out. and try all over again. Now, these...
Hold on, and then what if you do it with, and there's no blood?
Then that would indicate that you're hitting the
muscle
correctly.
Then you can go right back in that same hole?
Well, you would never be leaving the hole in the first place, if that makes sense.
Oh,
so the needle is in,
so you're
in, you're just
pulling
back.
You just don't take it all the way out.
Now, the CDC does not recommend this. And the reason they don't recommend doing this, aspirating the needle, is it causes unnecessary pain. I mean, let's face it, who wants to get an injection and then have the, you know, the person sitting there and playing with the plunger?
I do this 5 or 6 times a day, and I definitely would not want to do that.
Right.
Once you're in, you inject and get out.
Get the job done. And you and I are adults. Think about all these children who are lining up and about to get vaccinated. So it's not recommended. One other option is maybe a different point. Rather than the shoulder area, the thigh or the upper thigh is also a possibility. It's something that can be looked at in the future to see if this can be avoided entirely.
Or stomach as well.
Ouch. You're used to that. I'm not used to that. I don't have needle phobia, but that would kind of...
You'd rather do arm?
I would take the thigh over the stomach. Yeah, the stomach just—I don't know why that kind of scares me. I have too many soft,
it's weird. It's my
soft,
go-to.
Soft organs down there. Anyway, last study here, kind of settling an old debate that started way back when, and that was the question of how dangerous supermarkets were. You remember that part of the pandemic when everyone was really scared going to a supermarket?
Yeah, April 2020.
It was terrifying. I remember...
I didn't know what to touch. As a matter of fact, I went in with my 6-year-old daughter, Lynn, and we were waiting in line to pay, and she touched the desk where the cashier is sitting, and I yelled at her for it. And I can't believe I did that now.
This new study shows that your fears were unfounded. I mean, you meant well. You were trying to protect her. And honestly, it was an open question. We talked to a researcher about whether or not we should wear latex gloves.
Well, at that point, there was so much plastic around the cashier. She looked like she was in a cocoon, okay?
Made of saran wrap. No, a fresh study that was conducted in Ontario, Canada, with a total of about 1,000 samples taken at 4 different food retail stores, as they call them. They went through these stores over a period of weeks and took a look at debit machines, at conveyor belts, the handles on, the refrigerated section of the supermarket, especially that part, because they're thinking, well, if virus lands on these handles, it's cold, it's cool, it probably can survive here for quite a while.
Yeah.
We know that in perfect situations, this virus can last up to, 72 hours, 24 to 72 hours, depending on whether it's plastic or glass or metal.
But does that mean it can be transmitted to us?
And does it mean you can even find it in supermarkets? The answer is no.
It's nowhere.
They couldn't. They looked.
Couldn't find any SARS-CoV-2 in the entire supermarket?
Here you go. Take a look at the number of positive outcomes column there. They went looking. They tried to find it. They swabbed things and they couldn't. This information was collected during November, October and November of last year. Primarily, and they've analyzed it and had it published.
Number of positive outcomes. The entire store, every little nook and cranny of the store, 0000000000 and 0. I shouldn't have yelled at Lynn. She cried.
Your intentions were good, Gabe. If any of our listeners have any other questions, please get in touch with us. We are su@dw.com.
Science Unscripted.